Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio. And today is Veterans Day observed in much of the country. Obviously, it's 11-11 Veterans Day. Today, 11-12. A lot of schools are closed, businesses are closed, et cetera. And joining us to mark the occasion is Tom Tarantino. He is Deputy Policy Director for the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, an organization obviously representing vets of those wars. Tom, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
So let me jump right in on the issue of unemployment. Such a huge issue for civilians, but much worse for members of the military in terms of numbers. The Bureau of Labor Statistics reports that last year, young male veterans faced an unemployment rate of almost 30%. 30%. That rate was only around 17% for non-vets in the same age group, 18 to 24. Why is unemployment so much higher for young veterans?
Well, it's largely because we've never done the work we need to do to transition people from employment in the military to employment in the civilian world. It used to not be so hard because virtually everyone had served in the military at some point. But this is the first generation of business leaders that has largely not served in the military. If you think about the demographics, the Vietnam generation is mostly entering retirement age. And so we have this entire long period of time where the volunteer military, which is a very good thing, but the consequence is that you have a civilian population, particularly in the workforce, that don't understand military skills, military experience. And so it's very difficult to translate that. So you'll have a 22, 23, 24-year-old young man or woman who has tremendous amount of experience from the military, essentially starting over as if they were coming out of high school or coming out of college, because they just don't know how to translate those skills.
And listeners, if you are an Iraq or Afghanistan vet, call up and tell us how it is going and what the rest of the public needs to know. 212. What number am I giving out? Forgive me. I think our regular lines are back. 212-433-WNYC. Let's give them a try. 212-433-9692 for Iraq and Afghanistan war veterans. Anything you want to say to the public on this day that much of the country is observing Veterans Day for 2012, 212-433-WNYC for Tom Tarantino, Deputy Policy Director for the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. And in the service yesterday at Arlington National Cemetery, President Obama observed that this is the first Veterans Day in a decade without active troops in Iraq. What does that mean for vets here in the U.S.?
Well, I think it's actually something, especially from our community, that we need to be a lot more cautious about forgetting that we're out there. I think it's great. I mean, from someone who served in Iraq, I think it's great that we've ended the Iraq War and we're going to start winding down Afghanistan. But in terms of filling the needs of veterans, this is something that is going to happen for the next decade. And our biggest fear is that as the public attention shifts away from the wars, people are going to start thinking, oh, well, we're done with all of this. Well, we're not. You know, we've been in a war for 11 years. We have 2.5 million veterans who need to make sure that employment services are squared where, make sure that they can do jobs they did in the military in the civilian world or their military service counts. They need their GI Bill protected. They need to make sure that the VA is up to par in terms of benefits delivery and health care, mental health services. And right now, we're not in a good place with that. And so our worry is that in the next few years, as public attention fades away, attention in Washington is going to fade away, and we're going to be left holding the bag.
Let's hear from Kevin in Rockland County. Kevin, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I got out in 2008. I'm a West Point grad, and I spent almost 2 years without a job. I worked as a sub for a while. Worked as a janitor. And I was amazed when I got out that I couldn't I couldn't find work, you know. Finally, I did find work. Right now, I do sales for a company that I sell to the military, oddly enough. But it was very hard coming out, and it was very different from what I thought would happen when I was serving. I thought that I would get out, and I would just have jobs flying at me, and it was completely not the case.
Kevin, do you think there's either a lesson in your experience that other vets who are just now coming home can learn from, or is there a policy issue here that you think the government needs to do something about?
I think it does. Some of the veterans groups, there's a lot of veterans groups that have popped up that are really reaching out to veterans to, even harder is the guys who came out who were enlisted who didn't have a college degree.
Right.
It's really interfacing with them, letting them know how to translate their skills on a resume, and then having people have an open enough mind to give somebody a chance to say, just because your resume doesn't say I did this, to know what their skill set is and say, okay, well, we can teach you. You know, that's what the military is great at, is you can learn, these people have demonstrated they can learn anything and do it proficiently.
Kevin,
so give them a chance to learn it just because they don't have, years doing it.
Kevin, thank you for your service, and thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Roya in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Roya.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to add to the conversation. You know, I didn't have the best experience coming out of the military. I couldn't even get a job as a dishwasher or any other job, because I came out of the military and decided to go to school full time. And it's really hard for me to find substantial income for part-time hours. Either I'm overqualified or I'm underqualified.
Mm.
People feel threatened, I guess, maybe because I'm a female who's been in the military and has been around the world and back, and they don't want me to take their job. Or maybe I don't have the skills I need for some other job, but they won't even give me a chance to, have, on-job, work training. Because I'm a fast learner. I mean, I had to do nothing but, I was a heavy equipment mechanic. I didn't know anything about fixing heavy equipment machinery until I was in the military, and I learned.
And you were doing it in Iraq, right?
Yes.
So Tom Tarantino from Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, talk to this Iraq war vet about, any way you can help her. What can she do?
Yeah, I mean, this is indicative of the larger problem and I had the same thing. I came out of the military. I'd served for 10 years, and I couldn't find a job to save my life. It was only finding work with IAVA, working for a nonprofit, was where I found a good opportunity. But this is, there you can go to IAVA.org, and we have a lot of resources that can help.
Okay.
These are things. So basically, there's three problems. There's all the systemic problems, but in terms of the personal issue, it's learning how to translate your military experience so that someone who's never even seen the inside of a uniform or a rifle can understand what that means. Using your post 9/11 GI Bill, which you already have, figuring out really what you want out of your post-service career. One of the things that we found is that not only are we doing a bad job training service members how to be civilians, what's happening is that, and this was certainly the problem in my case, that we have weird expectations about what is going to happen in the civilian market. We think that all the skills and the stuff that we learn in the military is going to just land us a great job. And what we find out is that, it's like we're speaking to Martians. We're trying to teach a Martian how to speak French when we're talking about our skills and experience. So really, there are a lot of great resources. You can go to IAVA.org and you can look at our combat to career section. And there's things like learning how to translate their skills. There's figuring out what targeted areas you want to do in and go ahead. And there's lots of retraining options through the VA to help you get the certifications and get those trainings. Because unfortunately, being a leader in the military and doing a normal job under combat conditions doesn't necessarily qualify you. And that's
right.
A serious problem that we're trying to deal with both on the policy level, but we're trying to also deal with on the practical level.
All right. So that doesn't necessarily solve Roya's problem, but there are some more resources that you can look at, Roya, and hopefully that will be helpful. Thank you for your service, and thank you for your call. Lewis in Howard Beach, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Lewis.
Hey, how are you, Brian? Great, as usual.
Thank you.
I'm not in Howard Beach. I happen to be in New Jersey.
Okay, I have you as Howard Beach, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's okay. Anyway, this subject really touches really close things. I have a very close relative that got out, went to Afghanistan. And unfortunately, prior to going in, he really had no skills, not that much. And then coming out, you know, a lot of these people coming out are really going for the easiest thing. They're obtaining a commercial driver's license. They're driving trucks. They're doing things like that. A lot of people are very lucky to get a job through nepotism. They might have relatives like this friend. I had a friend of a friend. He had a relative that owned a construction company, and 1, 2, 3, once their cousin got out, he had a book. So a lot of them are having a lot of these hard, you know, problems trying to gain employment, but at the same time, the employment that they're gaining is not really meaningful. They're entry-level jobs, and they're not paying very well. And you have a lot of employers out here that they don't care if you're a vet or not. They're like, listen, you're a vet? Good for you. I really couldn't care less.
Yeah,
that's what's going on right now.
Lewis, thank you very much. And that's really shocking. Do you think it's true, Tom, rather than people having at least, you know, vets getting at least a little bit of a patriotism bounce from employers out there?
Well, I think the problem is more that, you know, they just don't understand. What I've seen a lot in the private sector is that a lot of companies want to hire veterans. But because they have no understanding of what those skills are, it's very difficult for someone, especially in a struggling economy, who's running a small business, to take a gamble on something that they might think works, but they don't know. Because we're letting people leave service with vocation and technical skills without the certifications that they've earned through the work they've done, but they just don't have the piece of paper to say it.
In fact, we have a comment on our webpage from somebody who says, my wife was advised by Monster.com not to list her military service on her resume for an office manager and later as a library clerk. The reasoning being that they felt that military background might suggest being a difficult employee. Believe it or not, writes this person, I was shocked myself by that reasoning. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, I mean, that's unfortunately something we're seeing. It's not terribly prevalent, but there is a stigma out there. And this stems from, you know, someone who doesn't understand what being in the military means, what service means, and sort of the benefits to hiring a veteran are. There is a stigma. You know, it's sort of propagated by this view of the crazy vet, which doesn't exist. There's no data that shows it exists. It's something that's sort of propagated in popular fiction. And the problem is that what it does is it taints the well. And you have a lot of people who sort of believe the stereotypes, don't look at the data, don't understand what it means, and it bleeds over. And it's one of the many challenges that we're facing when trying to get veterans into the workforce.
Let me get one more vet in here. Albert in Manhattan, we got about 15 seconds for you. Hi.
Sure, I'm not a veteran, but I want to urge everybody to stand up and write, contact the senators, the 40 Republican senators who blocked the Jobs Corps bill to help veterans become police, firefighters, and civilian conservation corps people.
So Tom Tarantino from Iraq and Afghanistan, Veterans of America, let's end on that. Now that the election has taken place and we have basically the same makeup, President Obama and a similar Congress, is there a second term agenda?
I would hope so. I think there needs to be, and I think, you know, we didn't see a lot of an agenda during the campaigns from either candidate or from a lot of candidates. But I think we have a real opportunity to spend the next 4 years really focusing on fixing some of these systemic problems, like employment transition, like making sure the GI Bill is protected, like making sure that mental health services are available so that we don't continue to see this skyrocketing suicide rate.
And we leave it there with Tom Tarantino from the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. Tom, thank you very much for your service.
Thanks for having me.
And for all of you recently returned or not that recently returned from Iraq or Afghanistan or some of the older wars, of course, we're talking today mostly about the recent vets, but thanks for your service to everybody, all veterans listening to the Brian Lehrer Show today.